Don't save me, but I regret being your enemy.
Can the music be heard?
Say some things I shouldn't say. I know a daughter of Zion should never act that way. That way, yeah. Sure about the whole time to run. That you got to put the whole time to run. You want me to be one, my people, I will let you be back to me. I know exactly what you need, what you need to be. Let me be that peace of mind, here and ready to serve you, babe. I know exactly what you need, a transformation in me. Give me another chance to prove my love precisely. I'm that you're about the most type of work. That you gotta pull the most answer. I look focused on your wants and needs. Wants and needs. Want my things, so I will let you lead. I know exactly what you need. Don't you be a new word? I'm a big new word. Yeah, yeah. I look focused on your wants and needs.
Shalom, you got a question, King? I see your hand raised.
I was just trying to greet you, King. I didn't know if you wanted people speak or not.
Con, I'm about to open it up. I'm new to hosting these things, so can the music be heard? Is it sounding clear?
Con.
Okay, Con. All right.
Shalom, King.
Shalom.
I want to be everything you need. Be the pillar that you can lean on. Time to focus on your wants and needs.
Time to focus on your wants
and needs. While my things are out, will let you lean. I know exactly what you need. I'm telling you, man, I'm a being a loser. I'm not focused on your wants.
I want you to be clean for you.
While I think so, I will let you be. I know exactly what you need. Don't you need a new wife? I'm a being a new wife.
I don't need that.
I'm not focused on your wants.
I
do that. While I think so, I will let you be. I know exactly what you need.
I made it to my happy place. Got the sun in my eyes and a smile on my face. I made it to my happy place. It ain't rained in a while. Woke up early today.
Ven conmigo y baila conmigo. Ven conmigo y baila conmigo. Mi amor. Mi amor. Mi amor.
I'm gonna get this thing started about 8:35. Give people a few minutes to get in here. See if anybody else gonna join us. The water for everybody to be in here, be present for this lesson. All praises to the Most High, and I hope this wisdom and information comes out and be received. Shalom, King Shalom. We'll get started here in about 2 minutes.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Just wanna love you for my whole life. Do it for you, I'ma make time. I wanna kick it until midnight.
Shalom.
Just to be with you till the sunrise.
Con, to your question too, I was trying to text you back.
Put my heart up on the mainline.
Say con to my question.
Just for you. Got it coming, know what you like.
So
good and bad, picking thin flaws and calling. If you ever hit a wrong, I'll let you know. Yeah, I know that love is unpredictable, but I'm pretty damn sure that this is. Kinda let it kiss me up on that. This is what I wanna do for the rest of my life. This is something that can get every bit of my time. What they call real love, real love, real love. You saw my halo. Giving all this when you should take more. Later, I'm sorry with you. So tell me, buddy, how'd you take off? You kissing on me, kissing on me. Every time I see you, got them feelings on me.
Shalawam. Happy everybody here. Hope you enjoyed a little warm up with the music there. Let me adjust this camera there. Welcome back. We are the Reap What You Sow class, Monday night's class, 8:30. Run up the tab. This week's lesson is going to be a recap of the soil that we went into. I'm going to go a little deeper into that. I got some great questions last week, so I want to touch on that, make sure everybody feels solid. And if any new questions arise, this will be the opportunity that you will have to present those questions. I want to open the lesson up with a little bit of Bible. We'll start in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I'd like to open the lesson up with that, just to remind everyone that as we sow our seed, as we try to feed our families and provide for ourselves and create autonomy and self-sufficiency, we will be having to work. You have to put in that work. You got to be willing to put in that work, put that effort in. The return is going to be amazing. And trust me, the fruits of your labor are delicious. You'll be so surprised how much better everything that you grow yourself is going to taste versus what you go buy in the store. It's amazing. And anybody that has ever had fresh meat or fresh produce knows the difference. I also want to pull, and I know I pulled that verse last week, but that's going to be a verse that we heard quite a bit, because I want to remind everyone that in this lane of growing your own food and producing for yourself, it requires work. It requires effort. Summer days, it's going to be very hot outside and you shall sweat. So be prepared for that. The next verse I'm going to pull is Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 9. And it reads, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. I bring that verse this evening just to remind everyone also that we are in the enemy's territory, the enemy's kingdom. They do run this thing. And when you go to the seed store and go purchase seeds and things of that nature, be careful what you purchase, because they have a whole lot of hybrids out there, a whole lot of mixed breed produce and seeds and things of that nature. So be very careful what you buy. We don't want to get anything that doesn't produce a seed. We don't want to get anything that is a hybrid, which will be a mix of different variations of the vegetable or plant that we may be trying to grow. So in the recap of the soil, I want to go into, we went over how to tell the different types of soil that you may have in your yard or your garden. Such as sandy, heavy clay, or nice healthy mix of soil, which will be the combination of the sandy and the heavy clay. It's going to create a very nice mixture, a very healthy soil to grow your produce in. I would like to go into the different types of store-bought soils that are out there on the market that you're going to find when you go, if you want to go start potting on indoor, or whether you do grow tents, things of that nature inside, or if you're growing on your deck and things of that nature. So the different type of potting, different type of soil you're going to find for purchase will be potting soil, topsoil, compost. They have raised bed mixes. Now, of all of those main titles for the soil, there are subtitles and different variations of these things. I'm going to go into the details of potting soil first. Now, potting soil is going to be your most expensive of them all, and there's a reason for that. We'll go into that as well. It's designed for growing plants in pots. It is lightweight, it drains well, and it's very rich in organic materials, which, remember, is what we create, which we, Salaki, remember, which is how we can create our own and correct our own soil. So say we got a heavy sandy soil or a heavy clay soil. Once we start adding our organic mixes to that, such as compost and things of that nature, we turn our soil into healthy potting soil or healthy garden topsoil. Okay, so the organic materials that are going to be contained in this potting soil, which drives up the price, are going to be things like peat moss, coco coy, which is basically a coconut. They crush the shell of that and mince it all up and put it into the soil. Compost, which we can make from kitchen products, scraps, food scraps, and things of that nature. Perlite. Now, perlite is something we're all familiar with and didn't even know. So when you look at garden soil or potting soil, it has those little white, look like styrofoam dots all up and through that thing. That's perlite. That's what you see in the dirt. And different wood species such as pine, bark, or mulch. All these things go into this potting soil to create a very nutritious, well-draining location and substrate for your plants to grow in. And again, those ingredients, the organic ingredients, are what's going to make the potting soil more expensive than the rest of the soils we're going to go through here on the list. The next thing we have is going to be topsoil. And it's exactly what it says. It's topsoil. It's the first 2 to 8 inches deep layer of earth straight from the ground. It contains no peat moss or any added organic matter than what's naturally in the earth, wherever you're digging the soil up from. The soil is super dense, right? So that is creating compact. It's very heavy. So what happens is, if you're sowing seed in direct topsoil without any organic mixtures or anything in there, or even rocks, I mentioned rocks last week, we use these things, they will loosen the soil up so the roots can easily grow and the plant can strive and grow vertically as well. With topsoil, you don't have those things. So you got to be careful if you're just planting in strictly topsoil, so that the dirt itself, once it gets moist and wet, doesn't compact the ground so tight that the plant can't grow or the seed can't germinate. Next, we have compost. Compost is used to improve any soil structure that you have, whether it's sandy, whether it's compact clay, whether it's light on any nutritional value in your sand, in your dirt, Salakia. When you get your dirt tested, if you're lacking anything, compost added to that dirt is going to give you what you need. This is going to create, it enhances the moisture retention, promotes beneficial microbial activity and growth, and is high in nutritional value for the plants. Different type of compost foundations include mushroom, manure, leaf litter, and vermicompost. Now, the vermicompost is simply earthworm castings or earthworm waste products. And some people, they actually breed their earthworms in these containers, and they take the dirt and the compost from the earthworms that they create during the breeding process and use that directly to their soil to fertilize their plants and also enhance their soil to make for a very nutritious substrate for your plants to grow in. Now, compost is easily made from simple kitchen products that we have and we normally would throw out every day. Things like eggshells, bread crust, like say your kids making peanut butter and jelly, they don't want the crust. Save those kind of things. They can be used to make compost, potato skins, lemon peels, orange peels, all of these things. And the list goes on. You can do a small Google search on that to see what all you may have that you can add to the compost and create your own compost and have a great option, free You don't have to spend anything. You already bought these products to add to your soil, to enhance your soil. Okay. So you definitely don't have to purchase compost if you don't want to. Now, the next thing we have is raised bed mixes. Now, these type of soil are basically a combination of topsoil, compost, and peat moss and mulch. As you can tell, there are all these names for dirt that make up healthy soil. It's damn near the same, you know. So we can go and buy these products, or we can create our own. You go and dig your topsoil up, add your compost to it. Now you have potting soil or raised bed mixes that you made yourself that you can save your own money. Again, as far as the investment goes into gardening, it's what you make. It's what you want to do. You know, you can go on the more inexpensive side, or you can spend a lot of money and purchase all kind of products. Okay. And then the next topic I want to go into is going to be seed depth. Now, this question came up last week in last week's class. And the seed depth is the amount of soil you cover the seeds that you are sowing with. It is as simple as the title. Okay. Seed depth is determined by multiple factors such as the plant you are growing, the type of soil you have to grow in, the size of the seed itself. Seed size directly correlates to the amount of energy that's contained within that seed to germinate. Germinate, the definition of germinate is to produce buds, work gradually to produce, cause to grow or sprout. That's the definition of germinate for those who might not have already know that. Okay. Deep seed we have is the depth of a deep seed planting. When you sow in the seed, the depth would be deep seed. They got three different ones. It's deep seed, surface planting, and the third one, 90% of the seeds are grown this way. I didn't get a special name for that, but 90% of the seeds are grown at this depth. But the first one I'm going to go into is deep seed. The depth of deep seed is a quarter inch to a half inch of soil covering your seed. Deep seed is reserved for larger seeds, like I say, that harness more energy to push through that soil. Now, with that larger seed, you have a larger surface area and a harder seed coating, which is the shell of the seed that needs to slough off as the plant sprouts, germinates, to come push through the soil. So you think about this, right? So you got that seed, it has a covering on it. As it germinates, it's pushing through the soil. Now, that big seed with a large surface area, the deeper that soil, the Most High is so perfect. It allows that seed shell to slough off so that the first leaves of the plant can come through the soil and start receiving sunlight, producing the process of photogenesis, and started growing and coming to fruit. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you want to plant those larger, stronger seeds deeper into the earth, so that when they germinate, you don't have to worry about it in those things. And like I say, the Most High is perfect in his design. Okay. And photosynthesis is the act of converting sunlight into food for the plant, for those who didn't know that. Examples of deep seed plants include, but are not limited to, squash, cucumbers, zucchinis, pumpkins, sunflowers, most melons. Okay, we have that will be things that we would bury, again, a quarter inch to a half inch deep into the soil. We also have surface planting. Okay, and surface planting is just to suggest seeds that require little to no soil covering them. And these are going to be your small seeds. Now, again, the size of the seed is a direct correlation to the amount of energy that seed is going to produce when germinating. Okay, so these small seeds are going to have a lot less energy to push through lots of soil. So, again, you plant them on the surface. Very little soil needs to cover them, and they'll do just fine when they start to germinate and flower and bud. These seeds also require sunlight for their germination. So they're on the surface as well. They're receiving direct sunlight, which is going to heat them up. You're watering them. Don't get the moisture for that shell so that the seed has opportunity to germinate and sprout through. Okay. Now the next, let me give you some examples of that. So examples of these would be plants like celery, poppy seeds, lots of flowers, general flowers that you plant in your flower bed. They're going to be very small seeds. Also, chamomile. These are the type of things that are going to be very small seeds that you would plant on the surface, very light dusting of dirt, so that they can germinate, produce, grow, and produce fruit and vegetables for you. Okay. Now, the next layer is 1/8 to a quarter inch deep. Now, this is generally for 95% of the seeds that you're going to come across are planted at this depth. So even if you have a seed that would typically should have been a deep seed planting, if you plant it 1/8 to a quarter inch deep, it'll still germinate and it'll still produce. you will have a little hard, the plant will have a little harder time sloughing the shell of the seed, but it'll still grow. And if you do not plant the seed deep enough and it grows, it germinates, and the leaves have a small shell still on them, feel free to go and you can help the plant out and peel that shell off. If you leave nature to do it, it'll do it as well. So you don't have to worry about a whole lot. But if you see the plant struggling, need a little help, feel free to go ahead and peel that shell off, and the plant will do wonderfully and just fine. Okay. So the rules to planting depth apply to indoor and outdoor growing. So whether you're growing on your windowsill, or you have a small greenhouse inside the house, or a grow tent inside your house, or you're growing on your deck, these same rules apply. Okay. And a tip for planting at the right depth for all of these depths, whether it's an 1/8 inch to 1/4 inch, or a 1/2 inch to 1/4 inch, or on the surface, it's simple, just putting it on the surface. But they sell, you can go and buy yourself dowel rods, right? And you can get these dowel rods at these exact measurements. So what you would simply do at that point is, I use this highlighter as an example, smush it into the dirt till it's level with the dirt, surface of the dirt. So if it's a 1/4 inch dowel rod, you're 1/4 inch deep. You drop your seeds in there, cover the dirt up till it's even. Work's done for you. You don't have to worry about any measurements. Now, over time, as you continue to plant and grow things, you're going to have a visual eye for this thing, and you won't have to do no measurements. You'll be able to estimate it and get it right every time just with your eye alone. Okay. Some examples of these seeds, this 95% group, is going to be things like peppers, beets, lettuce, carrots, kale, collard greens, cabbage, and so on. Like I say, this is the largest category. And most seeds are planted at this depth, all right? So the next topic I want to go into is going to be once your plant is maturing and growing, prior to it starting to fruit, we have viney plants like grapes, things that climb. Now, in order to do this, you would use what we call a trellis, right? So we have trellising. Now, trellising is any means of supporting a climbing plant. So any plants like cucumbers, watermelons, tomatoes. If you have some tomatoes are indefinite growth, which indeterminate Salakia, which means that they will just grow and grow and grow. Some of them get 10 feet tall if they have a proper support and something to grow up on. And they'll just keep growing and keep producing fruit the whole time. These type of things need trellises. You'll see tomato, what do they call those things? Cages, for lack of a better term, all the time. And those are basically, that's a trellis, a simple trellis right there. You can make a trellis out of damn near anything. I got a question earlier this week in regards to someone had saw, I think it was on the internet or something, a person had found an umbrella. They took the umbrella off of it and just used the structure of the umbrella. It was an outdoor umbrella, a patio umbrella, and they were going to grow their crops on that. So anything can be used as a trellis. You can use a fence, the fencing that you have in your backyard. You can use a ladder mesh. They sell all these things that I'm about to list at the grocery, the seed stores as well, or your local hardware store. Ladder mesh, T-posts. T-posts are very common for gardens. They're normally colored green, and they have a small anchor at the bottom, the shape that gives it the T-shape. And they have little hooks on them, so you can use those for all kinds of things. Now, T-posts are a slight investment. They like $5 to $8, depending on how tall you get. They last forever, though, pretty much, if you take care of them. They'll last forever. I use them year after year, that first investment, that initial investment, and you have to worry about it again. We also have chicken wire, cow panel, arches, TPs, whatever you can think of. Let your creativity run wild when it comes to this. You can have two poles of wood, wrap string through them side to side, make a weave. You got a trellis. Trellis is nothing fancy. You can go to the thrift store, offer up, yard sales, trash day, anywhere you can pick up something and create your own trellis. Again, your creativity is all you need when it comes to that. Now, I mentioned something as far as heavier crops like a watermelon or a cantaloupe. These things are very viney and they will run, and you can trellis those as well, but they are heavy crop. So you're going to make sure whatever you use to trellis is going to be very sturdy to support the weight of what you're going to be growing. Things like peas or beans or something like that, obviously they're light. You can grow them on diagonal near anything, okay? But those strong, those heavier crops, you're going to get something that's a more rigid support. I found a company also for everyone who has small growing space. Maybe they're growing on a balcony, patio, even inside, if they had some space by a nice window or something. It's this company, and they have what's called green stalk planters, and you can Google that. They have them on Amazon. I've already looked at them. I priced them. I saw one, a nice setup. It's like a tower, and it's not exactly a trellis, but it grows vertically, and it gives you an option to plant multiple different types of variety of vegetables around that. And they start at like $40 up to a couple $100s, depending on the size of what you want to invest into these planters. And they have different, like I say, a lot of different setups, and a lot of different starter kits come with these things here. Again, that's called green stalk planters. And like I say, if you Google that or put that into Amazon, these things will come up and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I encourage vertical growing. Vertical growing is great. Some of the benefits of vertical growing is you keep critters off of your plants, off of your vegetables. Your vegetables will be cleaned, and when it rains, it won't have all the dirt and mud splashing on your vegetables. They won't sit in water and potentially rot. Critters, like I say, like rabbits or even mice, whatever you may have coming into the yard, won't be able to access those. Even bugs, a lot of bugs will be able to stay away from your plants when they're growing up vertically versus on the ground. Also, that you another benefit to trellising and growing vertical is going to be the ease at which you can harvest your vegetables or your fruits. They're going to be hanging right there. Eye level, so you'll be able to get those things very easy. Some examples of climbing plants or vegetables include peas, tomatoes, cucumbers, melons. There's a bean called a yard bean. I fell in love with this plant last year, and it's basically a green bean, but they also call it asparagus bean. It grows over 12 inches long, and it's delicious. It's like a mix between a green bean and asparagus, and they are very good. They grow. Once they start producing, they grow so much. And it only takes a few of those long beans. You cut them up into normal size, and you got a meal on your hands right there. Also, winter squash grow on a vine, and you can trellis all of these examples I just gave you. Now, some examples of container crops for those of us growing in these green stalk planters, or if you have your own pots that you want to grow in, and whatever you want to do on your windowsill, on your porch, patio, things of that nature. Things that grow great in those kind of containers are going to be stuff like carrots, bush beans, microgreens, salad greens, radishes, peas, beets, things of that nature. Something else I wanted to touch on would be plants that you can harvest relatively quickly. People think that when you plant your plants, typically you have to wait 3 months, 2 to 3 months before you can start harvesting anything. But they also are plants out there that the Lord has provided to us that you can harvest within a month. These things will be stuff like baby lettuce, beets. Now, you wouldn't eat the beet itself, but the leaf of the beet plant is delicious. It's like a lemony mix between spinach and lemons. It's like it's delicious. The flavor is great. Greens, turnips, kale, microgreens. The microgreens are a very popular thing. Microgreens, they'll start to sprout within days, and you'll see the little plants start to grow, and they get big enough. They only need to be a couple inches big, and you can harvest them and make yourself a salad right away. So those are some examples of very fast growing vegetables that you can grow in a short amount of time and you can eat right away. All right. Got a couple verses I want to close out with. Pull Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Salakia?
You need a reader out of one?
Con, that'll be great. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11.
Con out of one. This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full.
Now, I pulled that verse right there because the same way we're preparing our souls and our bodies and our minds to, Lord willing, be a part of that number, We need to be prepared to take care of the blessing that the Lord is going to give us. Yeah, we ain't got to sow anything. It'll already be there for us according to the scripture, but we need to know how to maintain it. We need to know how to take care of it. The same way we spend our time learning the laws, practicing the laws. Sure, we may fall, but we're going to get back up. In that day, we will strive to be perfect. And God is going to make us perfect by putting these laws, such commandments on our heart. So we won't make any mistakes that we're making now. So during this time of practice, same way with this gardening and taking care of ourselves. We need to be practicing for the blessing that's coming our way. Can you pull Deuteronomy 8, 7, and 10? We're going to stay in that same lane. 7, 2, 10.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee.
And all praises. So as we get these blessings and we eat and get full, we're going to bless the Most High and give thanks for what he has given us. I want to thank everybody for the intention, and I hope everyone had an opportunity to learn something. I want to open the floor up for any questions you may have in direct correlation to any of the topics that I went over tonight. And I'm going to give you a little recap. That's going to be over soil, seed depth, or trellising. Let's try to keep our questions tonight contained to those three topics. The floor is open. Feel free. Any questions?
Talaki, I don't want.
Come on, bring it up.
The seed depth would also be based upon, I don't know if you said it already, so I apologize if you did, but the seed depth would also be based on the instruments you're using for the soil, like the difference between a flower pot, plant tray, and then if you were just planting it in the actual physical ground, the seed depth would be impacted by that, correct?
Well, the seed depth is going to be not directly impacted by that, but if you are familiar with growing out of a tray just to germinate your seeds before you move them into a more permanent location, you can stray away from these different depths. But in general, we want to practice this no matter where you plant your seeds at. This is going to be to give the seeds the most optimal opportunity to germinate, survive, and thrive.
Con,
bring it out.
You mentioned that compost is usually used to enhance the soil that you have. How often do you recommend using compost when growing anything that you're growing?
Well, in direct reference to what you started with as far as enhancing what you already have. So let's say you have some topsoil that is sandy or clay, and we need to bring this thing into a nice healthy mix. You add that compost to get the right mixture, and you're going to know that because you're not going to be sandy and it's not going to be heavy clay. It's going to be a good, healthy, loose soil so that the roots have room to grow and prosper. You're not going to need to do that all the time. You're going to need to do that once a season to get started. And after that, you would add compost to your garden soil periodically as the growth season and you change vegetation, or the season changes and you go from a summer garden to a winter garden, or you change what you're going to be planting in the area. So certain plants need more of this or more of that. That's when you would add your compost. But compost is not something that needs to be added every single day or even weekly for that matter. So that'll also give you time to produce compost, because compost doesn't happen overnight. When you take these food scraps or whatever to make your own compost, if you're not buying it out of the store, it takes time for that stuff to break down into a great material to use into your soil. So to answer your question, you don't have to do that too often. Again, seasonally, whether you're changing the actual crop that's growing, if you've been growing a particular crop for a while there and you're switching it over, go ahead, add some compost in there. Before you start sowing your seeds for the next season, add some compost in there. By adding that compost at these different opportunity times, you're going to be adding nutrition to nutritional value to the soil as well to help those plants survive and thrive. Does that answer?
Con,
the water.
Salaki.
Con, bring it out, brother.
So, when you plant your seed, do you kind of leave the soil loose on top of the seed, or do you pack it in, or do you, you know, how do you go about doing that?
Con, Salaki, for not mentioning that. That's a great point, Shildy. You do not want to pack the soil down when you plant your seeds. Again, when we're talking about seed depth, large seeds, if you compact it down, it's going to give it a very hard time to break through. Now, this goes into what we're talking about when we get into topsoil, how the topsoil can be dense and compact and heavy. We want to loosen that up with the compost, like Benal just brung out. So as we loosen that soil up to keep it fluffy, we want to keep it fluffy. So it's a lot of energy in a large seed, but even that energy is still a seed, right? It's not nobody running track or nothing. So you don't want to compact it down. You want to leave it nice and loose so that the seed has an opportunity to germinate and shoot through that dirt. Okay, now when it comes to a plant that's already grown, like say you had a plant you bought from the store and it's already a plant, it's not the seed. When you plant that, you can compact that down a little bit better or more so that it can have a solid foundation for the new roots to latch on to this new dirt that, that they're in. They went from one substrate to another, so they don't have any support. So you pack down a plant, an actual plant. But when you're doing seeds, just cover it up with the dirt lightly and let it do its thing. That answer your question, brother?
I don't know.
Salaki.
I think the quad was first, and then Adia.
So you mentioned the fast growing, like the baby lettuce, the beets, the greens, the turnips, and the microgreens. Now, when you talk about fast growing, now, is that dependent on how rich the soil is? Is that dependent on weather? Is that dependent on, because certain things grow in certain weathers, correct?
That's correct. And all of those things that I just mentioned, these fast growing items are going to be stuff that can grow in very small containers. So you can literally have them inside and grow them year round. Weather won't be a problem. If you have sunlight, and even the light that you have in your kitchen or wherever you have it at will be enough for these things to do photosynthesis, create the energy they need to grow. So I think that answers your first question as far as the seasoning goes. It doesn't matter the season. Now, as far as what type of dirt you're using, anything you're growing, your soil is going to need to have nutrition in it. It's going to have to have some kind of nutritional value. You will be able to grow things in very bad soil. Stuff will still grow. It won't do its best. You won't have a high yield of fruit or vegetable from a bad soil, such as you may have been describing. So even if whatever the soil is, you want to enhance that soil again with the compost, with fertilizer. Now, fertilizer is what I'm going to go into next week as well. I'm going to give teach different ways that we can make fertilizer right from the house free of charge. We got everything we need. We already got it in the kitchen. So you can fertilize those plants to give them what they need if your soil is a weak soil that's lacking in nutrition. Did I answer both of your questions?
Yes, and the last thing, the one that I saw that was first in line, I'll get that from you tomorrow.
What's that, brother?
The beet.
Con. All right. Adia?
Adia,
sorry.
My question is, what happens to a seed if it's not planted at the correct depth into the ground? Because I have a seed that, I had a cherry seed that I planted like several months ago at work, and I did add some potting soil into it, into the ground, and there has been no sign of growth whatsoever to the seed. So I'm wondering if it wasn't planted deep enough. So what happens to the seed if it's not planted at the seed depth?
Typically what will happen is you can plant a seed too deep. Now if you plant a seed too shallow, if the conditions are proper, it'll still germinate. You will need to add some soil on it so it'll have some grip, some for the roots to grow and for the stalk of the plant to have some support. The same way with trellising plants, we do trellising when the plant gets nice and big, but even when it's very small, dirt gives it the support it needs so it can stay upright and receive the sun. If that answers your question. Now, as far as that cherry seed goes, you can plant something too deep. If you plant it too deep, it wouldn't have the energy to push far enough through the soil. You'll be able to dig that cherry seed up if you planted it too deep. I'm not saying you did. And you'll see that it sprouted, but it never came through the soil because it was too far down. It ran out of energy before it broke through to receive sunlight and continue to grow and thrive. Now, like I said, so if you plant something too shallow, it can still germinate and do its thing, but too deep, it'll never reach daylight.
Sometimes I think that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Now, some seeds, I'm not sure where you got that cherry seed from, but I know you go to the store and get some cherries. They all got cherry seeds in them. And you people want to germinate those seeds. Those seeds, it's better to germinate those in something like a wet napkin or something like that prior to putting it into soil. So you can watch it and know that it's doing what it needs to do. While you put in the reason you put in a wet napkin so you can make the shell soft so that the seed can germinate and bust through the shell and sprout. Seeds like cherry seeds are very hard, so it takes time for them to soften up. Now, I'm not sure how long you planted. How long did you say that seed been in the dirt?
Oh, it's been like maybe 5 or 6 months ago. And we go out and watch it every day, and I still don't see any sign.
Con. Now, I was going to say, if it's been like 5 or 6 weeks, it might still have a chance. This year, I planted some cucumbers, and I planted that asparagus bean. And I swear, I thought some tomatoes, and they just did not sprout. Everything else was growing. These were not sprouting. So I got impatient. So what did I do? I got a small greenhouse too. So I went and sowed the seeds in my greenhouse versus straight to the dirt. So guess what happened? The day after I'm shoveling dirt, straining dirt, making it so it's good so that it can have a good substrate to grow in, get everything planted, put in the greenhouse, watered it, come out to the garden the next day, guess what I see? Those same plants that I thought weren't going to plant start to sprout. I just needed to be more patient. So now 5 months is patient enough, don't get me wrong. But like if it's just a couple of weeks, give the plant a little longer, especially if you're sowing straight to dirt outside, exposed to the weather. Now, if you have a controlled environment such as a pot or a grow tent, things of that nature, those times that the seed pack, the seeds will tell you how long it takes for them to germinate. Those times are going to be pretty accurate. But again, if you're growing outside, outdoors, in the Most High's land and area, be patient. It might just need a little bit more time, a little bit more water. And the ground also needs to reach a certain temperature to trigger that seed to germinate.
Slock it. Yesadi, I wanted to just add, for a lot of, like, especially like cherries, depending on where you buy them, you might want to try to find out where they're sourced from, because a lot of those companies are owned by a parent company called Monsanto. And those, like, especially like strawberries, cherries, and stuff like that, it's harder with cherries, strawberries, because strawberries actually have the seeds on the outside. But the actual cherry, the pit that you see is the pit. The seed is actually inside of that pit. And a lot of those plants are harvested earlier and they're hydrogenated so that they actually turn red. So when you actually see them on the stand at the market, they're finally coming into, you know, like by the time you get them home, they're ready to start eating. But a lot of those plants are not actually like what they visually look like. They're not actually at that state because
they're not as mature as what you're seeing, right?
Yeah, as what you're seeing. So a great tip, and probably you could do it with that actual seed that you had planted, is to take that seed and as best as you can, try to crack it, not crush it, just a crack, because the actual seed is inside of that pit. So if you can crack it so moisture can get there, the Most High do the rest of the work in getting the seed. It's just that when they're using the products that they're using to keep pesticides and all that stuff, and they keep the pests off, you retard the actual growing pattern of the actual seed. So that's just something you could look at. And I would just say, if you're looking for fruit to plant and you're saying, okay, I'm gonna go purchase fruit, the best thing to do is actually go to a farmer's market where you actually have growers growing the food and buy that, like go get cherries from them or strawberries from them if you want to actually, you know, source them for growing yourself.
Yeah, and that company he just mentioned is horrible. They ruin vegetables, they ruin large farms. If some of their product falls off into your land, it becomes their land. So that particular company, there's a lot of documentaries about that particular company and how bad they are for the food industry in general, and their pesticides and their growth hormones and the things like he just described, them picking it early before it's really at the age that it looks like, and they do their little stuff to it to make it seem like it's ready to harvest and eat, and it really isn't that mature. And also what he's just speaking about cracking that thing, that's that moisture that we're talking about on that shell so that it can get to what needs to get inside there and it can sprout or germinate. So all praises for that, Mike, preacher, the water. Any other questions? So, okay. Come on, bring it up.
Hey, I was just wondering if anybody recorded the lesson, because I've been in the gym this whole time. I've been listening.
Con, I think I did it right this week. I tried it last week and I messed it up, but this week I think I did it right. I see the little red dot and everything, and I named the lesson, so I will post this as well. And so yeah, I did record it.
Con, hey, I would say this. I just make sure before you end the stream, save the go in and hit stop recording, and then end it, because I tried to record a lesson that another brother did. Actually, Salaki, it was your lesson. I started recording at the beginning, but you ended the stream before I hit stop recording. And so once I got over, I don't know if it was because I did that, but once I got over to get the clip and to send it over to Mike, then it only had like 9 seconds recorded.
Con, I will do that. I will do that. The wire. Got any other questions out there?
It's a lot.
Con, bring it out, brother.
Yes. So, how would you suggest that we go about storing our compost?
It depends. You can use something as simple as a bucket with a lid on it. If you have a yard's area, you can make you a little pile in the corner of your yard, and you want to turn it frequently, so that it doesn't grow mold. You don't want your compost to mold, so you need to give it air. And that's what that flipping it is all about. But you can use something as small as a bucket. You can use a corner of your yard. There's just so many ways you can do with your compost. Now, if you're talking about storing your waste product straight from the kitchen before it even becomes compost, again, a bucket with a lid in your house. It could be a small bucket, big bucket, a trash bag, like your grocery bags when you go grocery shopping. I got a plethora of those. So you can use those until you take it outside at the end of the day. Or however you know, I'm not sure how your kitchen runs, how your family runs or whatever, but you can use those. Any of those will work perfectly fine for you to store the stuff. Definitely want to get out your house or have a lid, because it will come with a smell before you put it into the dirt and start mixing it all up. Does that answer your question, King?
Con, the water.
Con, all praise. So you're in the bar.
Salafi.
Con, bring it out, sister.
So I have another question. Is there such a thing as germinating a seed too long?
No. And the reason I say that, because you don't determine the germination. Now, if you mean trying to germinate the seed too long, we'd be talking about that cherry seed you had in there for 5 months. It's not that you did it too long. Not every seed is going to germinate. So you're going to need to do more than just one seed in order to increase your chances that a few of these are going to germinate, because one may germinate and still not have enough. Keep in mind, there's energy that takes out of this seed to bust through. It might not have enough energy, even planting at the right depth. So you want to plant multiple seeds, increase your chances and odds of success. But to directly answer your question, you can't over germinate a seed. The germination of the seed is going to be whatever that seed decides to do. Not all seeds will germinate, but you give your seed the best opportunity following these methods that we went over tonight as far as seed depth, type of soil, and moisture.
Con, that definitely answered my question. And now that I'm thinking about it, I think that was the issue as well, because I planted one singular seed instead of multiple seeds.
I've been there, sister. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, never be afraid. I actually had a question about that, I think early this week. Never be afraid to plant more. Plant more. I find myself, last year, I planted way too many tomatoes. I mean, way too much kale. I give it away. You know what I'm saying? You know, people, everybody want to play with a plant sometimes. They might not have a green thumb, might not never grew nothing. Give them a, here, take that. Matter of fact, my mother-in-law, I gave her a tomato plant, grew right on her porch. She was picking little tomatoes, cherry tomato plant, picking tomatoes all that summer. So, yeah, don't be afraid to grow more than you need.
Kind of the water.
A younger bosses. Go ahead, Shelly.
Hey, well, you know, I'm out here in Texas, bro, so I don't know if it's clay, it's like brick in the summertime. But so I forgot my question. Oh, my first question was, I want to grow in my backyard, so do I need to kill my grass? That's my first question.
Nah, you don't have to kill it. You just dig it up. You grow, depending on where you're going to grow, right? When I got my house, there was a bunch of trees in my house, so I didn't really have a lot of grass right there. But once I cut the trees down and decided where I'm going to grow, I till the ground up. You can turn that grass, you ain't got to get rid of it. That grass will break down into your soil and feed the plants or the seeds, whatever you decide to grow in that particular area. Now, to address that hard ground that you're dealing with, it's going to take a lot of moisture. That's all you're going to do. So once you add the compost, so it sounds like it might be a clay soil, add some compost to fluff it up, lighten it up, add nutrients to it. You want to keep it wet. You want to keep it wet so that it doesn't get hard like a brick and it stays soft and malleable.
Okay, so do I need to like just get it ready and try next year, or can I add compost this year? And
yeah, this year is fine. It ain't too late. It's definitely not too late. In a climate like yours, you can grow well until November, December. I'm growing into November and December until it was like the second frost that we had, which was late November, before a lot of my plants died off that weren't winter hardy, so to speak. So you're going to have some plants that can grow all summer, they grow all winter, and they'll be just fine. But right now, it's still fine to plant different vegetables, things of that nature. As a matter of fact, if you go on YouTube, you can literally Google what to plant in the month of May. All kind of stuff's going to come up. What to plant, even in June, May, every month, they have these people out here making videos on different vegetables that you can grow in that time frame of your growth season. Now, you want to be careful when you watch videos of that nature, because you want to pay attention to what's their location. If you look at an almanac or even on a seed pack, they got the country divided in these lines going across. I should have brought a seed pack in here. And it got different zones, you know. So depending on your zone, it's going to determine your growth season. And that's what's going to determine, do I have enough time before the frost or before the drought or whatever the case may be for wherever you live at, for this plant to come to maturity and produce me fruit. Now, if it's a leafy plant, you ain't got to worry about too much. Once it starts growing leaves, you can eat those leaves. From a very small, like we were talking about with the microgreens, and with those microgreens, if you let them go, they'll become a big plant, whether it's cabbage, kale, collard greens, whatever the case may be. It's a mixture in those microgreens. But yeah, you just want to make sure you have enough time left for whatever it is to come to maturity so you can eat it. And so it can produce fruit. Does that answer your question?
Kind.
Okay. But yeah, don't be afraid to start planting now. You ain't got to wait the next year. Start tomorrow. Like I say, turn that soil up. You can get a tiller or you can use a shovel. The sweat of thy brow, brother. The sweat of thy brow.
God. Are you taking any questions about seeds? Like, I was trying to figure, like, I know I need heirloom seeds, right?
Need, when you say need, what do you need them for? Need them because that's what you want?
No, the heirloom seeds are the ones that...
Okay, yeah. Because I went into diverse seeds. All right, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying there. Yeah, heirloom seeds are very much what you want to try to stick with. Heirloom seeds, organic, not hybrid. Basically, you just want to try to stay away from hybrid. Now, as we know, in Esau's land, we can't fully stay away from everything wicked that these people have done and try to produce. We do our best, and we pray on the rest. So heirloom is very good, safe. Organic is good and safe as well.
The water.
Again, the bar. Anything else out there? Con, bring it up.
When you was talking about the soils to get or the best soils to get if buying it, which one did you say was the most expensive?
potting soil. Potting soil is going to be your most expensive soil simply because it has the most organic material added in there. And then the most expensive of those organic materials I gave you was going to be peat moss. So that potting soil has peat moss, compost, perlite, wood species, mulch, things of that nature. The thing about it is, to save money, you can buy each one of those things individually and put it together yourself. Now you control how much soil you make now, right away, and how much soil you want to make later. You'll have some put to the side. So you can buy it already done, or you can do it yourself. But potting soil is going to be the one that's most expensive. Again, you get topsoil, add the compost to it, add the peat moss to it, the cocacoi, wood species, perlite, or anything you want to add to it to enhance that soil, it'd be just as easy as buying it mixed. You have the same stuff.
The water added one.
Are you in the bar, King? All right, all right. And like I say, if you don't have a question now, you don't want to ask it right now, feel free to hit me on the Telegram. Shoot your question. I'll get you an answer. As soon as I see it, I don't be on my phone like that. So, but I be checking for brothers and sisters to see if anybody hit me up. So it means a lot to me. If y'all have any questions, I want to get y'all to answer. Something I got to talk to Corey about. I have a plan in my head that I want to start. I'm going to start producing seeds for us, and I'll be able to have seeds. Hopefully, if I get the cycle right, each year at Passover, I'll be bringing down packs of seeds. Brothers and sisters can take these seeds and do what they need to do. They'll be 100% organic. We're going to know that stuff going to grow. It grew in my yard. Doesn't automatically mean it's going to grow in your yard, but we got a very good opportunity. So, and it'll be free for y'all. Y'all ain't got to pay nothing. So I'm going to start that project here soon, and I'm going to talk to Corey about that and make sure he gives his blessing to it and that he's on board with that as well. So with that being said, I'll be putting out a list of things that people might be requesting after Corey and I speak and iron out iron this thing out. Probably shouldn't have said that to y'all yet. Should have talked to him first, but it's a lock here. But other than that, man, I appreciate y'all's time. All praises to the Most High. Yahweh Bashem, Yahweh Shah Barakatah. Everybody have a good evening.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Don't forget to stop the recording first.
Con, look, I'm doing it right now. End the last shalom, quote. Okay. Stop recording, then end, right?
Con.
All right, Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
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 Shalom.